It's City Desk, news and views from City Hall, Biloxi. And now the host of our program, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. Here's Mr. Creel.
Good afternoon, William Sackett. We are recording this City Desk program on Wednesday, September 27th, here at Biloxi City Hall. And we're going to have an extra special guest in a moment. But first, I want to welcome in Cecilia Dobbs-Walton, the Public Affairs Specialist for the city. We've got a lot going on right now.
We do. Good afternoon. We have a lot. We have a lot of things coming up. You know, it's the end of September. Of course, budget was just approved, and then we have a lot of events coming up for the fall, cruising the coast in the area. So we got a lot, like you said, a lot to talk about today.
We're going to talk about cruising the coast in a second because the big block party is a week from today. That's going to be October 4th. It's going to be right here in downtown Biloxi. And we're asking people, as you're out motoring along our major thoroughfares, whether it's Pass Road or Highway 90, Pops Ferry Road, please be sure to be extra cautious because we're going to have a lot of visitors in town who may not be familiar with our roadways. We've got some dredging going on right now. This has been a project that's been in the works since 2016. Right now, the dredging crews are down at the Point Cadet Marina, and they have already finished up at the Sherman Canaan Boat Docks on Back Bay. And in addition to that, they're going to be dredging something that we've gotten complaints about for years. That is the depth of the canal at Hiller Park leading to the boat launch. In addition to that, the dredging crews are going to be doing some work out by Mercedes and North Haven and Holly Hills, all the canals out there. This is a year-long project. It started in August. $711,000 is being spent on improving these waterways. One of the most important ones was the Sherman Canaan Boat Docks because that is where we have a little bit more than two dozen of our big steel-hulled shrimp boats that are working back there. And now they're down at Point Cadet, and they're going to be moving forward with that. Cecilia, we had a lot of issues at the City Council meeting on Tuesday.
We did. There was a couple things that came up, such as
The mugshots, the vacation of Maycock right behind that was approved by the City Council by a 6-1 vote. Councilman Lawrence was rather vocal in saying, let's be careful when we go to close down streets. Councilman Felix Gines, whose ward it's in, Ward 2, pointed to the economic development aspect of the project with a lot of new restaurants coming into town. There's also the go-kart issue for West Biloxi that is going to be at the site of Slippery Sam's. The council didn't take a vote on that, did they?
They did not. They decided to have a public hearing. I believe it's going to be October the 24th at the 1:30 council meeting here at City Hall. So it'll be open to the public so the public can come and voice their opinions or their concerns.
The other thing we had happen this past month, we're celebrating one of our police officers, Ashley Pack, was featured in a national magazine.
She sure was. Yes, like I said, a female police officer. She's been with the police force for a couple years, and she was featured in the September issue of Glamour magazine. And what Glamour did is they had a section in there about women and their self-esteem. So they polled women throughout the whole United States and then chose a number from each state. And, of course, Ashley Pack was chosen to represent the state of Mississippi, a Biloxi police officer. And she was just in there, a little blurb, a little image, her in her uniform, and just saying her beliefs.
Mm-hmm. So we're quite proud of her and quite proud, quite frankly, of all of our police departments. We just went through the budget process, and we had a brand new city councilman who was on board to view that process firsthand. He had some great insight into it, and we're going to want to welcome him into the City Desk program. He represents the Ward 7 area, which is the area out in North Biloxi, essentially north of Interstate 10, the Wool Market and Eagle Point area, as I understand it. And we're going to learn a lot about our new councilman. I say new, but he's been on the job for quite a while now. Good afternoon, Nathan Barrett.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I got to ask you, first off, tell me about Nathan Barrett.
I'm just a normal person that decided that I was going to run for office because I saw some needs in our ward, and I felt like I had the ability to get some of those needs met and go to work for the people in Ward 7.
Now, I mentioned this to you the other day, and you had an interesting observation. I told you that there are probably you've got a tough job, in my opinion, because you're representing an area of our city where some of the residents probably would have looked at it like their life was just fine before they became part of the city. How do you deal with that?
Well, that is true. There is a contingency of people who have lived in Wool Market their whole lives, been out there, some of them 70, 80 years. Wool Market is one of the oldest communities on the coast, and the popular opinion among those people are that they were fine before they were part of the city of Biloxi. And then, as you know, we've grown tremendously over the last 10 years in the area, so you have a large contingency of people who haven't lived in Wool Market their whole life. And so it is a balancing act. You have some people who want the growth, and then you have a group of people who doesn't want the growth. And so it's a balancing act to be able to appease both groups of people. Now, there are, I believe, a larger group of people who are newer to the area than the older group, you know, because we've grown so much, and the ones who have lived out there their whole lives, most of them own large tracts of property, whereas the people who have moved out there in the last 10 years or so, most of those live in subdivisions or in smaller areas than the large pieces of property.
So what you're saying, you've added a whole new word of diplomacy, definition, to go between one and the other. Can you share maybe one of those moments between the old and the new and how you are balancing?
Well, I believe that we can appease both groups. Growth is inevitable. And one of the last places that we have available to grow, especially residential areas, is in the Wool Market, Ward 7 area. And we say Wool Market often, but it does spread all the way to north of D'Iberville and the Promenade. Our ward is the largest in the city. And I believe that we can appease both groups. I believe that that we can grow while maintaining the integrity of the community that a lot of the people out there desire to have.
I think that's a big challenge, too, that you face as a councilman and, quite frankly, I guess the whole city, all the city leaders, because, as you said, that is the area where we're growing, and some people want to leave it just the way it is. That's why they move there, and you want to make sure that we don't infringe on their quality of life.
And you know, I don't know the perfect answer to that. However, I do believe that we can grow while, you know, maintaining the integrity and the atmosphere that we have of a small community out there. You know, it's happened. We've been growing consistently out there for 10 years, I would say. Ever since Katrina hit, it's been growing. People have been trying to get north of the interstate to get the cheaper insurance and not have to worry so much about the flooding. And so I believe that we have maintained that, and it's inevitable that we're going to grow more and businesses are going to move out there because businesses move to where there's density. And but I believe that as long as it's smart growth, I'm for it.
Okay, that was a good answer. Big question, Councilman. What was your biggest surprise since you became a city council member, or were there many?
Well, to be honest with you, I've known that I was going to run for office for over 2 years. So around February of 2015, I started frequenting council meetings and city events and things like that. So as far as the council meetings, nothing huge. The budget process was a very eye-opener for me. I learned a lot of things. But as far as the council meetings and things, I was very familiar with that. There are some behind-the-scenes things that people that just sat in the room do not see that I've learned since taking office, and your phone rings a lot.
Yeah, they call it a part-time job, but it's far from that,
is
it?
You know, there's days that you don't get a call, but then there's days you get 100 calls. And so it is far from a part-time job. It's, you know, mornings, noon, night. It's something that you work all the time. It is not a part-time job.
And by the way, I think the casual observer in these meetings that we have on most Tuesdays, they can pick up pretty quick that you've done your homework and you've read up on an issue, whether it's in your ward or if it impacts any other part of the city.
Well, you know, I want to preface this statement by saying I do love the city of Biloxi. I'm not one of those who are anti-Biloxi. I was raised in this community, and I was elected to serve the people of Ward 7, but also a councilman's responsibility goes beyond that, and you're representing the whole city. And anything that comes up, I educate myself on it, and I'm not going to speak and not know what I'm talking about. I educate myself on it and try to make the decision that I think best suits the city and what's best for the city as a whole. Because ultimately, if the city doesn't prosper, it doesn't matter what ward you're in. That ward's not going to prosper either.
One thing that came up was in the budget process, and you had a suggestion on how we should do that budget in the future, and that's kind of turned things around in the priorities from the beginning of the process. And I'm specifically talking about some of the cuts we had to make in some areas when we funded some museums first. So does that mean you hate museums?
not at all. And I made that very clear in the council meeting when I was speaking to Mr. O'Keefe. I said, I believe that our museums, I believe our history, I believe our art is important. I'm a musician, so arts are important to me. I played music since I was about 9 years old. Arts are important to me. However, I believe that we should take care of the essential areas of our government first. I own a business as well. And when I make money from my business, I do what I please with that money. That's my money. But as a representative for this city, this isn't my money. This is the taxpayers' money. And I think that we have to be good stewards with that money and spend it in the areas that best suit our constituents. Now, if there's an abundance of it, give it to everybody and let's, you know, let everything flourish. But I'm very strong in supporting our police department, our fire department, our public works department, because I believe that that's essential to the flow of our city. And if those three departments don't function completely and efficiently to the best of their ability, then it's not just those departments that suffer, it's the citizens that suffer. We have to have good roads. Our ditches have to be clean so that houses don't flood and yards don't flood. We have to have good response times and have the greatest for our police force and our fire department. And so not in any way, shape, or form am I suggesting that I hate museums or any of that stuff, but I do believe that we should flip the process around and take care of our essential departments first, and then once we take care of them, we move on and take care of everyone else.
And some people would argue that public safety, being safe in your home, in your neighborhood, in your business, is one of our basic responsibilities. So I see what you're talking about. You spoke up on another issue, too, right at the end whenever we were getting ready to, when the city council was getting ready to approve the budget. And that was something where you thought long and hard about it, I believe, and you spoke up. And I'm talking about Coast Transit and the funding for a new route that was going to be added. Tell people what was being proposed and what your thinking on it was.
Well, the original proposal, when budget came around, is CTA offered a new route, and that route I believe would start around Pass Road and Pops Ferry and end at the Promenade in D'Iberville. And so originally the city of Biloxi was going to carry about $35,000 of that. I think it was around $70,000. City of Biloxi was going to carry $35,000 of that cost for that route, and the city of D'Iberville was going to carry the other $35,000. When D'Iberville did their budget, they cut the $35,000 out, and the city of Biloxi added that $35,000 in to add that route. And I was opposed to that because, in essence, what we're doing is providing a service to the citizens of the city of D'Iberville, and I don't believe it's the citizens of Biloxi's responsibility to do that. Furthermore, we're establishing a route that takes our citizens to the city of D'Iberville to spend money when we should be trying to keep that money and that tax revenue in the city of Biloxi. We already hemorrhage enough money to the Promenade area.
Are you also afraid that might establish a precedent?
You mean a precedent that the city of Biloxi would pay the whole shooting match?
I believe that if a route is going to be established in the city of D'Iberville and Biloxi, that D'Iberville should carry an equal load of the cost. It's not the city of Biloxi's citizens. This is the citizens' money. It's not the citizens of Biloxi's responsibility to pay for a service for the citizens of D'Iberville.
Excellent point. You made a point of talking about that. Another thing, and you bring a little bit of humor to these meetings too, Councilman, I got to tell you, the issue of garbage came up yesterday and trash. Garbage is what you put in the can. Trash is what you put out on the road. I hate that we call it debris. When we call it debris, I think of a hurricane. But Mayor Gillish was talking about how Pelican Waste was going to be following up with Waste Pro, Pelican Waste being the new trash contractor. They were going to come a day after Waste Pro came, and Mayor Gillish said that most of the places on the peninsula, it's picked up on Friday, and he said, Councilman Barrett, he says, when is trash picked up out in Woolmarket? And you said?
About once every 6 months.
I couldn't believe it. It was great. That has to have been one of your big challenges on getting services.
It has, and One of the things that you will learn about me is there's no gray area. It's black and white. I've been in ministry for many years, and I believe that that's the best way to be. And to be frank about it, is Waste Pro is doing a terrible job on the debris or trash side of things. And in our ward, it's magnified because going back to the large pieces of property, there's a lot more trees in my ward than there are other wards. And so anytime you get a storm or anybody works out in their yard, they cut trees, they have limbs, and you can drive through my ward today, and it's in my subdivision as well. And I don't live in a area where there's large tracts of land. It's unacceptable the level of service that we're getting for the amount of money we're paying as a city. And Waste Pro has dropped the ball when it comes to debris and trash pickup, and just keeping our fingers crossed, hoping that Pelican Waste does an adequate job.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot about that on our website, because we're going to have Team Waste and Pelican. One's going to be focused, and that would be Team Waste's focus on your garbage and your recycling, and you got to wonder where those recycling carts are. How come they're not out there yet? And then Pelican is going to be focused specifically on trash, what the council member was just talking about. Now, what do you see in the coming year for the city of Biloxi and for Ward 7? You got to be excited about these fire stations.
Absolutely. When I ran, as I stated earlier, I started my campaign. I was running against a 16-year incumbent. And so you don't just start 2 months before the race. I started way out in front. And that's the reason, is because when you're running against an incumbent, you have to have your ducks in a row. And so from day one, as you know, our ward, the majority of it was annexed 18 years ago. And for whatever reason, we can point fingers at whoever, a lot of things haven't been done that should have been done. And I know that Rome wasn't built in a day, but they had to start building Rome one day. And so my campaign was around communication. If you call me, I'm going to call you back. If you send me an email, I'm going to get back with you. I'm not just going to leave you hanging. Doesn't mean that I'm going to be able to solve all your problems, but I am going to communicate with you and do everything I can to help you. Second thing was infrastructure and amenities. When I was running, one of the things that glared out to me was there were 27 parks listed on the City of Biloxi's websites. Of those 27 parks, not one was in Ward 7. And we're the largest. You can take the whole city geographically and set it inside of my ward. And there's 27 parks in the city of Biloxi, and there's zero in Ward 7. In 18 years, in my opinion, that's not acceptable. Many people in our ward cannot flush their toilets when we have heavy rains because they're on septic tank systems. They've been in the city for 18 years, and again, they don't have city water and sewer that's available to them. And when it does become available, the cost to hook up is astronomical. And there are areas in our ward that people are on fixed incomes, and they cannot afford it. And so infrastructure, the roads, the drainage, the parks, the streetlights, and you can just go on and on. Our ward has been, and like I said, I'm not pointing fingers at anyone, but for 18 years, our ward has been neglected by the city of Biloxi. And I believe that I have a voice that people will listen to. And so that was the strong thing that I ran on, was infrastructure and amenities. And then the third thing is community pride. I believe that community pride establishes unity in the community. And so we've already established a community pride and beautification committee, and they're going to do things like they've already redid the sign coming off the exit, and it's beautiful. It looks great. We're having a Christmas parade, and it's going to be a big deal in December, I think the 9th, the second Saturday in December. We're going to have cleanup days. We're going to do yards of the month, businesses of the month, and just do a lot of community projects, movie nights, things like that. And it creates a sense of unity in the community and brings people together. One of the things that's very unique about Biloxi is we are a bunch of different type of people. But whenever you strive for a common goal, it creates unity. And that's my goal with that. So communication, infrastructure and amenities, and community pride. And we have a lot of things happening. We bought a community center. We're working with the county and some grants to put a park in. We're working on a new library. We're getting a new fire station. We have a lot of drainage and sewer projects that's coming in. And so, like I said, I don't think that you can build Rome in a day, but we have started. And so that's my goal, is just day after day to make a little bit of progress. And over time, a little bit adds up to a whole lot.
Great platform. Excellent. It's just such a program of work and vision. Tell me about Nathan Barrett, the man, though, and the family man. You referred to a business. You referred to being a member of your church and being active in that. Tell us about Nathan Barrett, the family man, and about his private life.
Well, I'm really a simple guy. I was born and raised in Ocean Springs. I've been connected to Biloxi my whole life. I've lived over here since I was about 18 years old. My grandfather was one of the founding members of First Pentecostal Church of Biloxi. At the time, it started on Back Bay in a tent between two oak trees. Now that church is on Pops Ferry Road, sitting on the hill. And by the end of this year, we'll be moving into a new facility, which will be the largest church facility on the Gulf Coast.
Now, what is up with that? Because I've been watching that construction, and it's finally starting to really come together.
It's a 60,000 square foot building. Most of that is sanctuary. If you walk in the building, you will see why it has taken so long. It's not a small task. It is really an elaborate building. It's more of a stadium inside, and we'll seat around 2,100 people when we're done. And state-of-the-art everything. And I'm the assistant pastor there. I've been on staff at the church full-time since 2005. I was the youth pastor. And in 2013, I became the assistant pastor. I also own a health and supplement company, and it's an online company. We have 4,000 distributors, and we do business in 15 countries in all 50 states. And then I'm just I'm a family guy. I love to play ball. I have two sons, 14 and 12. Both of them are great guys.
What are their names?
Braden and Baylor. And they're both great guys. I love to spend time with them playing ball that I'm able to stand now as much as I'm able to. Mm-hmm. My wife's name is Wendy. We've been married for 18 years this past July. And I have a great family, and I have a great life. I'm blessed to have, my wife and my boys are right by my side for everything. And we don't do things individually. We do it as a family, and love each other and love people. And the Gulf Coast is we love living here, because our favorite thing to do is spend time on the water. And whether it's the river or it's just out front or going out to the islands, we love being on the water. And so Biloxi's a great place to call home.
So you work with Brother Springer out at the Pentecostal Church. What is that like?
he is a, tell you a funny story. As you can tell, I like to talk. But funny thing, when I was in college, first time around, I dropped out of speech class because I was scared to talk in front of people. And after Hurricane Katrina hit, I've been a lifelong member of Pentecostals of the Gulf Coast, which is formerly First Pentecostal Church of Biloxi. Pastor Springer's father was my pastor early in life, and then Brother Paul Springer became my pastor when he took over in 1994. And I'd always been involved with our youth department, and he got me in. And I had a mortgage company when Katrina hit, and that I lost everything. It flooded, and I lost all that. And he wanted me to come on staff as the youth pastor. Our other youth pastor had lost everything and decided to move away from Biloxi. And so went on staff. I went through the schooling and got my ministerial license. And I've been on staff since 2006. He is my mentor. He's my friend, but he's my mentor. I owe a lot to him. I said it at the night of inauguration. I wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for him. that doesn't mean I wouldn't be successful in life or anything like that, but to have the ability to talk in front of people, and he is really, you know, a lot of what flows out of me is a direct result of him investing into my life. And so I love Pastor Springer. He is a great person, and you know, he's a lifelong Biloxi guy too. Mm-hmm. He grew up on Calvette Street and loves this city very much. And so I'm blessed to have him in my life, and he's a great guy.
He really is. He really, that's why I had to ask you about him. Mayor Holloway introduced me to him many years ago, and your influence was felt right away because you had Brother Springer involved in the inauguration.
Correct. Yes. We started planning for the inauguration, I called and I said, hey, if we don't have anybody, I'd love to have him do the invocation. And I might add, he did an incredible job.
He did, as we knew he would. So does this mean that from day one you were able to have your influence on Mayor Gillich, and are you going to be able to do more of that?
I will say that Mayor Gillich and Pastor Springer are great friends. They have been for many years, and Mayor Gillich regularly visits our church. And I don't know that gives me any insight to have any influence. I think that he's a pretty firm guy, so if he believes in something, I think he'll go for it. And but I would like to believe that you know, I think I have some good ideas, not just for our ward but for our city. And I'm a very calculated person, and anything that I present, I think is going to be something that, you know, is something that I would feel that would be for the betterment of our city. Up to this point, they have entertained my ideas, and you know, I think that we're moving forward and we're accomplishing some things in our ward that in the last 18 years. Just for instance, we're going to put down our first stick of sidewalk in Ward 7 in 18 years. And it's not a long stretch, maybe a quarter of a mile, but in 18 years we haven't put one sidewalk down on a public road, and that's something that we're going to be doing in the next month or so, and that's progress. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited about the future for our ward and for our city, and I'm excited to be working with my fellow council members and the Gillich administration.
If someone needed to email you, what is the email address that they would use?
nbarrett@biloxi.ms.us.
That's nbarrett at biloxi.ms.us. Councilman, before we go to Cecilia and she tells us what's going on this weekend, is there anything else you wanted to say? And I got to tell you, that stuff about Christmas and the new signage, a lot of people thought that whenever Wool Market became part of Biloxi, that there was not going to be any Wool Market. I think it's like Point Cadet, you know, it's always going to be Wool Market.
Yeah, Wool Market will always be Wool Market, in my opinion. You know, like I said, it's one of the oldest communities on the Gulf Coast, if not the oldest. I don't know for sure, but I do know that it has the oldest consolidated school building in the state of Mississippi, which is the Wool Market Elementary School. At one time, that was a 1st through 12th grade school with a vocational center and everything. And it was the first consolidated school in the state of Mississippi. And so there's a lot of history in the community. So I don't think that the name Wool Market will ever go away.
Nor should it.
Yeah. And so, you know, we're proud of our community. And like I said, I'm not opposed to growth. As long as it's smart growth, it makes sense for the city and makes sense for the community at the same time.
Or as Mayor Gillich once said, if it's stupid, we're not going to do it. Well, Councilman, I want to thank you for being here with us today, and it was just enjoyable, and I certainly look forward to seeing what you have to say in future council meetings.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, nbarrett, nbarrett at biloxi.ms.us. Cecilia, what's happening this weekend?
Well, starting tomorrow, Friday, September the 29th, from 11:30 to 1, the Park and Recreation Department will hold their Rock and Roll Senior Bash. It's open to all adults age 55 and older at the Donald Snyder Community Center, again from 11:30 to 1. It is free. There'll be music and food and a lot of fun. Then that evening, Friday evening, September the 29th, from 6 to 9, will be the Cruise into Fall Special Needs Dance. This is an annual event that the Park and Recreation Department has, also at the Donald Snyder Community Center. It's free, open to all ages, with physical and mental disabilities. disabilities. And then Friday, throughout the day, the city of Biloxi, or the Biloxi Police Department, which kind of spearheads the Mississippi Law Enforcement Torch Run Special Olympics, will be teaming up with Dunkin' Donuts for Cops on Donut Shops. So throughout the day Friday, you can go and enjoy coffee for the National Coffee Day. And you can make a donation to the Special Olympics. Police officers will be around the buildings on Pops Ferry Road and Pass Road from 5 a.m. to 11 a.m. But go out there and make a donation to the Special Olympics.
How about that, huh? Police officers are going to be hanging around a donut shop.
I like donuts. I wonder if they have any old-fashioned plains or maybe chocolate-covered.
Yeah, I think this is, what do you call this? This is a cliche or you know, having this. Cruising the coast, one last time. Cars are coming in this weekend. You can already see the RVs setting up down the beach, and a big event in downtown Biloxi Wednesday.
Yes, Wednesday, October the 4th, is the City of Biloxi Cruising the Coast Block Party. It'll be from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Cars will be lined down Lemieux Street, on Howard Avenue, around Martin Luther King Boulevard. There'll be a little area between Raynar and the Rue Magnolia area where cars will be. There'll be a stage across from City Hall where we'll have an Elvis impersonator that will be performing. So there'll be a lot of activities. Cars will be judged on a different number of topics. One, which of course will be by the Biloxi Police Department, Police Chief, which will be the car I'd most like to chase, and those awards we'll be giving a little later in the day. But I believe next week on Wednesday, October the 4th, we'll be doing our podcast live from the block party.
And I'll be walking around looking at Hudson's, Packard's, Nash's, even old Chrysler New Yorkers.
And we may have a special treat. I know you're going to kill me for saying this, but some kind of movie or something we may be showing over in the Sanger for people to give donations when they walk in.
Yeah, there's going to be a wonderful thing for Cruisin' 2017 called Motorama. We'll be 1- and 2- and 3-minute clips of automobiles from 1947 to 1987. The commercials, the promotions that were used, but you get to see these vehicles and how they were presented and these little vignettes, sound, etc. And speaking with Gaius over there, who has 1,000 pictures at the Sanger, has 1,000 pictures, he's going to intersperse this throughout there, so you're talking about memory lane. And I can give this away because I think it's such a hoot. The last clip of this loop clip is something, it really blows me away, an in-depth, high-energy, wonderful car of tomorrow, the Edsel.
Oh, that is terrible. And that's going to be kind of like on a loop. If people want to get away from the activity, sit down for a minute, they can go in the Sanger and do that. And we want to thank you again for bringing us what we think was a tremendous success, The Last Ride, starring the Hank Williams Sr. story. And little Elliot from E.T., and it was just a super, I think everybody there loved it. But what we want to do is get a new screen in there, get a new projector to where it looks like you're walking into just a first-class theater. But we do that, as Councilman Barrett said, you can't build Rome in a day. So thank you, William Sackett.
You've been listening to City Desk, news and views from City Hall, with your host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. This is William Sackett speaking.